Hello, I'm Cut Roach.
Hello, I'm Tyler, a.k.a. Ty Bass Mike.
Hey, this is Chet, a.k.a. Sir Chet.
Hello, this is Esther Lindis.
Hi, this is Tony Donadio, a.k.a. Undarian.
And I'm Ben, a.k.a. BGP Hughes, and you're listening to the one and only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I am Skunkeen, a.k.a. My Little Snowflake.
And I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And I'm Dave, Eat the Surf.
Hey, and I'm Trey, a.k.a. Astrakhan. Hello, all you sick, twisted freaks.
And this is episode 84 of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The podcast all about Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games.
Here we are again, all of us packed into the Neverwinter Nights podcast cave.
Hey, how do we get out of here? You know, I'm claustrophobic big time.
What is that moving in the corner?
I don't know. It looks...
It's an elf. See? It's so cute. Look, it's the Santa's lost elf. Aww.
A Santa elf. You've got to be kidding me.
Well, you look like a Santa elf. Are you not?
No.
Why are you dressed like one of Santa's elves?
Yeah, I thought you were here to bring us gifts and toys.
I don't think he's here to leave us toys.
So why are you here, little one?
I have something for you. For you all.
Oh, he has a scroll. I take it. It's the interview for the show.
Here, let me see that. I can't make it out. Can you, Trey?
It says Academy, I think. Yeah, Academy of Madding?
Give me that. I'm good at these things. It says the main topic for today is Academy of Modding Excellence. Yeah. Yeah, then the members roundtable first ever, Academy of Modding Excellence members roundtable. That's what it says.
Now I must go. You people are scary.
Cute little feller. Before we let that scroll finish its spell, let's do some news. Okie dokie.
Okie dokie. First up is an update on Mysteries of Westgate, the first adventure pack for Neverwinter Nights 2. A recent GameSpy article lists the release date as to be announced, 2009.
Hey, and next up, I received an email from Heroes of the Third Age, A Persistent World for Neverwinter Nights 2. As of December 4th, they're happy to announce that Heroes of the Third Age has been unpassworded and in full release. The HATA team, as they use their initials, would like to reach out to the community members who have been waiting for the release and invite you to join the server. A good place for you to start is their player's guide, which has all the information you need to read up on the character creation and get the files necessary to get onto the server. They also say that both NWN2 expansions are required, as well as a good 3.2 gigs of free space for all the oodles of exciting custom content they have for you to enjoy. So be sure to check out our show notes and check out a link to that.
And the Community Expansion Pack released version 2.2 for Neverwinter Nights 1. Yeah, looks like it was submitted to the Vault on December 1st and updated on December 6th. Yeah, and just to pick one of the changes listed here, they have added 829 items to the George Neverwinter Nights 2 conversions.
Wicked. 829 is a lot. In other news, more reviews of SOZ are rolling in. You can read two of them from the main Obsidian page. One is from IGN Australia, and they say, in many ways, Storm of Zaheer is a reminder of RPGs that came from those early D&D years of four adventurers simply out for fun, fame, and fortune. And the second one is from IGN US with a synopsis from that one is, fans of D&D and single-player role-playing games should definitely check out Storm of Zaheer. Yes, there's a shortage of single-player D&D games in this age of MMOs that we live in. But Obsidian still has crafted an involving, engaging adventure. There's also a third review listed there from November 26th. We forgot to mention before, folks. It's from 1UP. And they say, the freedom built into Storm of Zaheer allows the player, not the developer, to tell their own story. So check out those, all of you Neverwinter Nights fans.
Okay, it's time for the main topic. Hand me that scroll, Mr. Skunk, and be careful. And now for the first ever Academy of Modding Excellence Members Roundtable.
Hear who we have on today's show. We've rounded up most of the Academy of Modding Excellence for a roundtable that we're going to call Under the Hood Live.
Before we start, Estelinus, I would love for you to do some sound packages for female dwarves.
Female dwarves.
Yes.
That's real complimentary.
How do you take that one?
Hey, you know, we're actually not very close to each other at the moment. I mean, physically, because... Okay, you know, I can interpret that positively. Are you being sincere, or are you...
Do you want the toilet brush that I slapped him with earlier?
Okay.
Is it a pointy, sharp toilet brush, or is it a soft and yielding toilet brush? I feel this is important to know before.
The bristles are mangled and it's been used.
Ooh. Okay, that is sufficient.
It's got the stats of a plus two Morningstar.
Oh dear. Actually, I have to say, I have occasionally considered trying to do voice sets, but I don't know if anybody else finds their own voice very different to how they imagine it when they hear it back recorded.
Absolutely.
I just can't bear to hear myself.
None of us do. None of us the way we sound, do we?
I couldn't possibly sound like I do on podcasts.
Well, gotta break it to you.
Shut up.
You know, I can get this kind of abuse anywhere. So I don't have to. I mean,
well, if you can get it anywhere, then you should just expect it wherever you go.
Hello. Oh wait, I do get it everywhere as I go. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Hey, go with what you know.
Well, back to what I was trying to get out was when Estelindis did her first part with the numbers. I pictured a little dwarf. Because, I don't know, they always sound that kind of accent.
I don't know, Esty. I think he's trying to say you have a beard.
I think he wouldn't. I think he wouldn't dare.
Nope.
To be perfectly frank.
And just for the record, you know, dwarf-sized women are cool. I married one under 5 foot, so.
Actually, I do have to say, I know a very large amount of attractive small women. So, I mean, actually, fair to you, Steve, there.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, the image of dwarven femininity...
Really but you couldn't, like, have her play a halfling or something? I
mean... See, halflings are cute in 3rd Ed, but I think dwarves actually do get a bit of a makeover in 4th Ed. Not that I've played any 4th Ed as yet. And we're still finishing off our last campaign, so we'll give it a try next time we have some PNP action.
I didn't care for the 4th when I did the game day, World Game Day.
Yes, oh, I tried to do that, but then no, so much for that. Continue your story, please. Sorry, so many memories, too long as an interjection, please.
Someone put up a road sign. We are way off track.
Okay, so why don't y'all tell us your funniest moment in the Academy of Modding Excellence?
Oh, have we started? I thought we were just mucking around.
No, we're starting.
Oh, dear.
I'm recording.
You haven't been taping it. Oh, boy.
This is going to be close to one of them, isn't it?
This is a round table. It's a free-for-all.
Well, don't you want to introduce us?
Yeah.
No, that makes too much sense, Tony.
I was joking.
They can just guess.
Okay,
keep
yes.
them guessing.
Why don't y'all start out and introduce each of yourselves, starting with Tony. Why don't you start out and introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Tony Donadio, also known as Undarian, and I'm the Vice Chairman of Academy of Modern Excellence.
Hooray!
Hi, I'm Ben Huzzy, and I'm the Chairman of the Academy for Modern Excellence.
Woohoo! I am Esther Lindis, my real name is Siobhan. I am a member of the Academy for Modern Excellence. Surprisingly enough.
That's kind of a theme here, isn't there? I wonder why we're all on the same podcast.
It's true. It's quite coincidental.
I'm Chet, a.k.a. Sir Chet. And AME lets me hang out with him.
I don't know. I always thought of us more as your fan club. I mean, did I say that out loud?
Well, if you really want to think about it, the whole world is my fan club. I just try to keep it under wraps.
Yeah. Nicely said.
By the way, we forgot to mention that Sir Chet is the, what is it, Neverwinter Nights 2 team leader?
I believe the technical term is glorious leader.
Sorry, I have a 160-pound dog.
Fluffy down.
Fluffy.
Fluffy.
Can I answer your question now?
we have to have the great Tai Bay introduce himself. And I don't know how he's going to follow that.
I have an introduction too.
Wow. Yeah, how do you follow that?
I am so sorry, folks.
At least 10 steps behind for safety reasons.
Exactly.
He's big.
Tai Bay's big?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. No, my dog.
Okay.
Go, Tai Bay!
I'm Tyler, a.k.a. Tai Bay Smythe, and I'm a member of the Academy of Modding Excellence. I'm the NWN1 team lead.
And we also have lurking Michelle. Michelle, introduce
Michelle,
yourself.
I am Michelle O'Sullivan, a.k.a. Liso, from... I'm an indentured servant and working under the Overlord Cherry Otten.
Nice.
For free.
That's a much better description than anything the rest of us gave.
Okay, so for the first topic of discussion, your funniest moment in the AME. Go.
Okay, I guess I should start.
I guess it was today.
I was doing this podcast. Oh.
I guess I should start. Definitely my funniest moment was one that I mentioned a couple of times on our website before. When we were doing evaluation for one of the nominations last year, which had somewhat mature content.
And I think that's going to be everybody's answer.
Yeah, my wife walked into our office and looked over my shoulder at the screen, and I realized suddenly that I needed to very quickly explain to her what I was doing.
Educational purposes.
Were you evaluating a little bit of Ninja Weasel stuff?
Yes, that's what I was doing. So I had to quickly explain. This is work for the AME, really. That's all I'm doing here.
Did you have any, like, you know, Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On playing in the background?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Did she ask where both your hands were?
Oh, man.
Guys.
Okay, remember, this is a PG-13 show.
Well, wait a minute.
That runs your lines mind, PG-13.
Your mind's went in the gutter. I mean, I said nothing like that.
Ben, did you have any funniest moments?
I don't know. This one's coming close, I think. But two moments that stick in my mind. One was actually in the podcast when... we were mangling my name for about 20 minutes. I think that has to come pretty high on the list. The other one actually was when we were doing a multiplayer test of John Bai's Good versus Evil, and I realized what an incredibly poor D&D character builder I was, because I was getting creamed for about every 5 seconds or so, something like that. So I'm just sitting and laughing at the screen because I was so incompetent.
Oh, don't worry. I think I was not too far behind you in terms of character death, it has to be said.
Yeah, that was a bit of a wake-up, actually. There I was thinking I was a master strategist, a great tactician, and I think it was Tony and QSW were just clobbering me every 20 seconds.
Yeah, that, it does that have to be said, that there's a big difference between playing, you know, human beings and playing AI.
Yeah, sadly. Oh, is QK just joined?
QK's with us.
Hello!
Hello, QK.
Hi, QK.
Hey. Yeah. So now you can clear it up for us, QK. How exactly do we say QKRCH?
How I pronounce it?
Yes.
I want to spell it. Cockroach.
Cockroach? There you go. Mm. There you go.
I think someone said that earlier. Who was that?
It was me.
Hey, Cockroach. Can you point fingers in Skype?
Thank God you can't.
Hey, Cockroach, why don't you introduce yourself real quick? We're just now into the first topic, which was funniest moments. So introduce yourself real quick, and then we'll get back into the topic.
Okay, this is Cockroach, and I'm the webmaster and admin of the Academy for Modeling Excellence. And I'm also the video guy too. I'm the one who makes the video stuff for the publicity of the Academy.
The video guru.
Mm. Yeah. No.
That's an understatement.
Yes.
Well, I have to say, I would agree with a number of the other ones that were already mentioned about multiplayer testing and about Ninja Weasel's intimate animations package. Always good for chuckles. But for me, to be honest, what was always the funniest was checking the deadline and realizing how little time I had to do so much that was left. I mean, there's a good number of people on the committee, but there's an awful lot of Neverwinter Nights content out there, which is great. But when you're trying to review it all for a certain deadline, sometimes it makes you just a little bit loony, or at least that's my excuse. So any maniacal laughter that would be as a result of these at least 20 deadline moments.
I'm not saying anything. Nothing's to do with me.
No, we need somebody to kind of give us a bit of a shove. It's good that you do this. yourself and Tony, of course.
Yes, Tony's
kind of a lean, not very, very mean, very nice, a lean, nice, getting things done team. No, it no longer rhymes. I'm sorry.
We always need somebody pushing us.
You're very nice taskmasters.
It's true.
I would say so. Well, there was this podcast we were doing, and my dog started barking, and... I gotta say, it's
a 60-pound dog named Fluffy.
Fluffy, yes. I sent someone.
That's not the only dog that we've had in the podcast, by the way.
he's been in two now.
Grinning Fool also had his dog licking him too.
Well, I don't do the dog licking. There's no peanut butter in my house. I was gonna state the funniest moment, but since we've moved on to Taipei, Dre.
I thought it was the dog, sorry.
Wasn't it the short moment? The dog. We can use the dog. I mean, it is funniest moments in podcasts, right?
Okay, well, actually, funniest moment in AME, actually.
Well, that makes sense then, AME podcast, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the funniest moment. Well, yeah, this definitely ranks up there quite high. But I think now that, you know, all the awards are over and everything, I was chatting with Maddie Ann of the Citadel team over on the bio boards, like PMing back and forth. I knew she was glued to the site. And right when the video was released, I PM'd her and I said, hey, you might want to take a look at this. And her response was, flabbergack. So that was pretty funny.
Most eloquent.
Yes.
QK, you there? Do you have a funniest moment?
I think the funniest moment was when doing the first videos for the nominations and I had to take some voiceovers from Ben, you know, and and hear him saying like the best role play category. It was a very funny thing.
sounded so epic.
Well, it's not so funny. And on the other hand, I think it was to realize the other members when they released their nominations, and I had to check out and provide my own vote for them. It was great because I realized some modules that I haven't played and they were great, like Dark Avenger or Sublety of Thay, and I haven't played that, and those were great, and I think those were one of the funniest moments I ever had.
You don't reckon I'm a voice actor then?
What I found funny after the fact was we were doing the podcast interviewing Marcus Wayne Schlegel, and I was trying to ask him questions about a mod, an award we gave him, that I was very, very, very involved in. I mean, a lot of the work. And just felt really funny, really strange. I think that's not going anywhere, but you know what I mean.
It felt funny.
Yeah. Wrong kind of funny. Never
funny,
mind.
Funny strange, not funny haha.
Very good.
So, Tony, has the AME lived up to what you expected it to be?
I think that it's definitely lived up to what I expected it to be, or more. You know, back in the early days, there was a period of time when we weren't certain that the AME was actually going to be able to get off the ground, and I was very, very pleased and very gratified when it really did, and you know, just took off, and ever since, you know, since then has been able to sustain itself. I don't know exactly what to say beyond that, except that it's exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, I think it would be fair to say that, you know, it's kind of has a almost had a life of its own. Everybody in this call, and also a few other folks who have been members or are members now, have just kind of been dedicated, and it just sort of keeps running, which is pretty handy, really.
At the risk of agreeing too much, I would have to say in the affirmative, I do concur. I mean, it has lived up to everything that I thought it would be, including the personal servants that tend to wear every needs, which were promised when we were asked to join first.
I didn't get mine.
Are you sure? Maybe it's a ninja personal servant.
No, Chet, you are one of the personal servants.
Oh! No.
I thought that might have been part of the deal. Explain why you're always so kind and gracious, you know, and yes, madam, and of course, you know, yeah, certainly does explain it all.
It's better to hide my evil intentions, cover them with pretty words.
You wove a web of deception and lies.
Yes, yes. I mean, no. I mean,
Oh dear. But yes, I mean, definitely the AME has turned out to be everything that I'd hoped it to be, and an awful lot more. I mean, I never realized that we'd have such great videos for the nominations and for the awards, for example, when we first kicked off. So that's been very encouraging. I'm absolutely delighted with those videos.
Yes, that's an example of where the AME actually exceeded my expectations. That was unexpected and quite fabulous.
Way to go, Cockroach!
That's a little strange. AME for me is exactly what I thought it would be.
Get out.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Really? No. Well,
you're fired.
Like somebody,
here's a surprise. Get out.
I actually did a little reading about AME before I agreed to join, and it's exactly that. A group of talented, dedicated, selfless individuals hoping to shed a little light on the accomplishments of our community's members.
He's masking his evil again.
That's right.
That sounds so cool.
Man, I wish I was that selfless.
Oh, well, you weren't a member when I answered the question, so... No.
Was I not?
Oh, God, it's fun to be you. Well, I said that out loud, didn't I?
I would riposte that it is more enjoyable to be good. Not that I'm sure that I'd know about this, but I understand the theory is quite sound.
Good, evil, matters who has the gun.
True.
Well, that does matter to a certain extent. I'm sure no one would dispute.
Well, let's see. It was the AME as much as I thought it was going to be. Yeah, I mean, yes, and I think it really exceeded my expectations. I got this weird PM from this dude named Ben, and said decided to check him out, and I was like, oh, hey, you know, this is kind of cool, and joined up, and now it's like, you know, I'm really happy to be here, and pretty honored to even be asked.
Aww. Isn't that
it's nice? Taken over your life, hasn't it?
Pretty much.
One has to be concerned not to allow it to do that, I found, personally.
Yeah, it was a kind of a nice segue into being, like, recruited to do, like, 17,000 other things.
Okay, he wins the podcast. He just said segue. Guys, we can just wrap it up and go home.
Woo!
you took out the big guns right at the start. It doesn't matter who has the verbal gun.
Speaking of recruiting, are you guys recruiting new members right now?
Yes, absolutely. We are. Get in. Join the AIM.
Well, we were.
Join us.
Yeah, we are having a new member recruiting, isn't it, Ben? It's like one of the Neverwinter Nights 2CR community representatives, and he's a good guy. I think he will help for the community content categories and such. And he is. We can say that, Ben.
Who's that?
Is that the secret? The new member.
I don't think anyone's yet said yes.
No.
But, we've got a few people in the pipeline, and we're always looking for more. So, yeah, if we can use this as a public recruiting advertisement, let's go ahead and do it. I think I'll replace my shoes subliminal message with a recruiting subliminal message and try and sort of interpose it all the way through the podcast.
I wonder, I was feeling a strange desire for shoes.
Didn't we agree not to do any more podcasts until the podcast crew came and helped us and joined?
What exactly do you need?
Excuse me?
I can make hot chocolate for you if you want.
To be AME.
Just opinions, basically. Just for people to try things out and tell us what they think. I mean, that's all that's really required. So, in other words...
Actually, if Overlord Trey, if you don't mind, I'd like to improv a question.
Okay, go ahead.
This is to Ben. And let's see if I could say his name right. Ben Wyatt Husey. Is that correct? Kind of ish. Well, I guess that's better than nothing.
Kind of
you have
one
to add an English accent.
He's the only one who can pronounce his name.
Well, I don't have an English accent, man.
It's really easy. Let me give it to you one more time, guys, okay?
Okay, one more time.
Wyatt Husey.
Wyatt Husey.
Husey.
See how easy that was?
He's a Husey? Okay, on to my question. And this is for Ben. Ben, maybe you could do a little summary of what AME is looking for, what kind of help they need, and what kind of, you know, if people are interested in coming to help, maybe you can elaborate on it a little bit.
Well,
so if anybody is capable of helping and they know what they're able to offer.
Yeah, pretty much everybody is capable of helping. I don't want to, you know, make it sound like we're all a bunch of idiots or anything, but in reality, if you're enthusiastic, dedicated, and you have an area of interest, be it playing or building or making custom content or writing or even community websites or even, shall we say, making podcasts, You're the sort of person that we want, because actually we want someone who's really interested in one or both games and is prepared to put some time into it. And that's really all that we require.
Well, I'm really good at playing, so if you guys need my help, I'm there for you.
We really do.
There you go. Well, actually, one new recruit signed up.
Yes, we do need you, Shelly.
I was about to say that.
Better just call me Shelly one more time. I'll quit before I start.
Actually, pardon me, Miss O'Sullivan.
Now, people who play the Neverwinter Nights 1 and/or Neverwinter Nights 2 extensively are probably some of the best candidates for membership. Certainly everybody is...
I played just a little.
Just a little bit, right? No, because it's that experience with playing modules that is really helpful for both in terms of experience with having seen different kinds of things that can be done in modules and just having that exposure to the game. One of the things about being in the AME that's been helpful for me is it's forced me to go out and keep being a more active player than I might otherwise have had time for. And,
yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, the player experience is really a big plus.
But also, someone that doesn't build, someone that isn't involved in the community, they just play, they give a fresh look at some of the mods.
Yeah, you know what I mean? To get that kind of cross-section.
Well, I am very involved with the community, but I do play a lot. So, I don't know. If you think that's any help, then I'm willing to help.
We want
you're
you to
already
join.
Signed up. There's no backing out now.
Yeah.
I've already signed up.
You're in. You're
I
in.
Log on to the site.
Hey, Ty B, I get credit for bringing her on board, being that I asked her first.
Yeah, but remember that the slaves don't get credit for anything.
That's one of the benefits of being an evil overlord.
I've got to head down to a different area of the realms for okay.
Your credit goes to Esther Lindis because you're her slave.
I am excellent. This, I feel, can only go well.
No, you feel like you just got a promotion?
Now my mind's going in the gutter. Let me pull myself back out.
There shall be no gushers associated with Esther Lindis. Shoot.
Maybe being Esty's slave is the promotion.
Ooh.
Okay.
But like I was trying to say earlier, the bottom line
is... the original question?
The bottom line
the
AME is...
do you possibly?
The people we need to join are just people willing to join. I mean, you really don't have to have any special skill, any special takes,
shoot.
Because once you... I'm sorry, excuse me for talking while you're interrupting, but... but if you think about it, if a person just likes the games, either one or two, once they get involved with AME, there's so many people that know so many aspects of the game. There's all the guidance they need. It's just someone willing to give their time.
Just to build on what Chet's saying, I think the only thing that's not desired is somebody who can't work with other people. It's really as simple as that. If you are okay with having an open debate, and you're fairly open-minded, you don't mind hearing different viewpoints, because actually that's what we want to hear. You should enjoy it. Because
hey, I work with Trey, Skunk, and Dave. I'm set. I can work with anyone. Well, guys, I have to bail out because my 4-year-old's birthday is today, and I have to go get busy. It was a pleasure meeting.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It was a pleasure meeting who I haven't met yet before.
Bye, Shelley.
Bye. I'm sorry, Ben. I have quit AME already because you called me Shelley again. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And just to elaborate a little on the, you don't have to be a, builder or modder or whatever. Before I joined AME, I was not the builder. I'm kind of still aspiring. I've made a little things here and there to kind of play around. But, I mean, before I was with AME, I was not a builder, not a scripter, not a modder, modeler, anything. And an avid fan of the game.
And an avid player.
Yes.
And let's not forget the part that it is a lot of fun. Myself, I do this because it's fun. It's a hobby of mine. And when things stop being fun, I stop doing them. And I've had a lot of fun with AME. I've had a lot of fun with the modding. I've had a lot of fun with the podcasts. A lot of fun with the Persistent Worlds. I mean, it's all fun.
Yeah, just being an Everwinter Nights geek is... the only thing that you need to enter the academy, and it's just that you have to enjoy and just as you give your votes on the vault to some stuff, you can do the same thing for the academy. It's just reviewing stuff and just enjoy and help the people to realize they do great things for the community for all the Neverwinter Nights gaming.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that that sentiment. It's a funny thing because I don't actually view my participation in the AME as selfless. It's actually a very selfish thing because I enjoy doing it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of fun doing this, more than I would have expected.
I agree with everything that everybody has said.
Ty Bay is trying to recruit me in private message.
Go, Ty, go.
Got a fool.
I asked Ty Bay.
I would have to be a player, though.
Can we do some kind of private message sort of bombing you, spamming you or something? Maybe we each open a channel and send the recruitment jargon at you.
What?
Everybody annoy trades, please join.
One of the pluses of having someone from the podcast is, well, the podcast folks, you meet so many people. You're exposed to so much of the talent out there. You probably have a special take on things.
Although if I join, we won't be able to win next year.
Sure you could.
Well, that's right. Tony won. That's right.
Tony's living proof.
We'll tell you anything if we get you to join.
It has to be said that's not the way it works. It's just if you are a member of any particular community effort, you can't nominate yourself.
Oh,
isn't that
I see.
Right?
I see.
No, you can't. You can't even vote in the category.
And I was going on to say that. And then if you are a nominated in any particular category, then you can vote in other things still, but you just can't vote in that category because it's a conflict of interest. But, I mean, you can get involved with everything else, so it's all good.
Okay, cool. That's a good point. So if anybody's listening and they were thinking, well, I don't want to join because maybe my module might win, there, you just gave them a reason why they...
Yeah, no, you can stop it. Or you can just pay me. I mean, it's much easier, actually.
Like I was saying,
I'm really going to send you some shoes someday. Good man.
Shoes.
Last year's awards, we debated a lot of mods that I had something to do with, and all I could do was bite my lip and read the words.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a moment I seem to recall where... Somebody had said something. I won't say who because I can't remember, but I remember you were very gracious about it. And I was thinking, wow, that's tough to have to sit and listen to.
Yeah, especially it's a mod that was a Hall of Fame and we worked on for over a year. And okay, I'll let it go.
I think it might have been me who was saying all that stuff.
I would never dream of it.
And myself, yeah.
Just another side note is that I have redone the conversations in that mod, and so if you ever get a chance to look at it again, you know, maybe give me some feedback.
Certainly.
Okay, so to kick off on a different discussion here, and we'll start out with QK this or Cockroach this time. Cockroach, in your opinion, are there any categories missing from the AME, and if so, what should they be?
Yes. Well, the first thing I talked with Ben when I entered AME, it was about introducing a new category for the international community, as I am, as always, and some kind of giving an award for the people who develops stuff or tutorials in other languages. And it's a thing that nobody looks at, and I talked about that a lot of time before, and that's all. And we never had that kind of people to make a full review of all the international committee, because we are only Alvin and me who are European, and that's the only people who can review all that international committee. And by the way, we cannot speak German or Italian. That's a problem.
So an international branch of the AME or an international category?
No, it's only a category. It would be enough.
Okay. Well, actually, we did have in the original proposal for the AME a best international module category. And the only reason that that was scrapped was for lack of members who were able to evaluate international modules. So if we had a large enough membership of members who would be able to handle a category like that, there's no reason in principle why we couldn't bring that back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
I'd actually like to reiterate that point. I think it's important to say that Neverwinter Nights is not just an English game. I mean, it's you know, in however many different languages. Me, myself, I only speak English and bad English. So. But
and he's fluent in the latter, yeah.
Yes, I am, definitely. Hey, boy! really, there could be so many categories that we could add. You know, I'm surprised we don't have a best persistent world, but I can understand why we don't, because, you know, evaluating a persistent world isn't really a quick process. I do think that, you know, if we did have enough members, that definitely an international module, best international module, would be definitely a category.
Yeah, just to add on that point about membership, we've had some discussions about this, and, you know, my view has always been that I'm amenable to, and I like the idea of adding additional categories, but I don't think that that's something that we can do until we're able to increase the AME membership a bit. And anyone who feels that they would really like to see us handle additional categories, if you want to join and help us make that possible, that would be a great thing to do.
Personally, if I could interject, my feeling is that a great category would be for most innovative module or most innovative custom content, because oftentimes you come across a module or a bit of CC that really does something that pushes boundaries, or, you know, really does something that nobody has done before. But, I mean, it still might not be, like, in terms of other categories, in terms of, say, an adventure module, or might be the best RPG, but it's something really unusual and different. Same with custom content. I mean, it might really push the vote. So I think that would be a good possible category to recognize some stuff that deserves recognition but might not get recognized in more traditional categories.
Yeah, we continually debate, actually, the awards that we're giving out, and we're actually in the middle of having that discussion again at the moment. And I think it's already been touched on, really. It's a question of there's room for many, many more awards in reality, but it's about practicalities and how much the members that are in the academy can actually handle. So the more members that we have, the more different rewards that we could theoretically manage. And, of course, at the other side of the coin, there needs to be enough content to fill out that category. But really, those are the only two boundaries that we face. And we tend to try and make choices based on what we can manage every year. And that's a function of how many members that we have. So why don't you join?
Reel them in.
Yeah, recruitment number two. Anyone coming?
Just to throw my two cents in on that particular question, always been very focused on trying to make sure that at least one of our categories strongly focuses on the idea of awarding good storytelling and good drama. I've been on the podcast a few times talking about my views about interactive storytelling in computer-based RPGs, and I kind of look at it as a new form of interactive cinema. So the whole process of creating an effective story and effective drama in a Neverwinter Nights game is something that I think is very important for us to focus on. We've been having some discussions about whether to focus one of our existing categories more on that, or to consider a separate category for it. But I think that, you know, that's been my view of the one thing that I thought we might want to focus more on in the AMA.
Isn't that very, very close to the quality of the writing?
It is, but it's not entirely, because it's more than just how good the writing is. Because writing is only one part of it's an important part, but it's only one part of the game. There is music. There are sound effects. There is just the way that you structure the progression of events to create a dramatic effect. That's not specifically writing necessarily, but just it's an aspect of almost screenplay design.
Absolutely, like challenging creature area design, whatnot.
Yeah, because when you first said that,
my eyes just got opened.
Yeah, when you first said that, Tony, best storytelling. You know, I always thought of writing, but then now that you mentioned, you know, what sounds you use when and what creatures you put where, and the NPC interactions, that makes a whole lot more sense. Because it is definitely more than just the story. I mean, we have so many good writers in Neverwinter Nights, and, you know, present company included. And, you know, it's, and it, But, you know, it's not always about writing the story, because you can write a great story, but if you have, you know, some kind of, like, silly sound effect or music where it shouldn't be, then it can really kind of hinder a mod.
Well, the whole thing, the lighting and everything, I mean, I couldn't help but think back to the Archmage series when Tony was speaking, and I'm picturing just what he was talking about.
Indeed. It's a fine example.
I'm one of the finest in my highly biased opinion.
Thank you, everybody. That's
so, Estelindus?
Yeah.
Estelindus.
You can call me anything, really. It's fine. Don't worry. It's a bit of a mouthful, I am aware.
Hey, you?
I can call you what?
We'll just call her Esty.
Esty, okay. In how do you make time for AME?
Oh, well, that's a fabulous question. Largely, I kind of leave out sleep. Sorry, you think I'm joking?
No.
Sleep, well, what's that?
Yeah, indeed. Now, see, none of the guys from AME think I'm joking. It's what I mean, because they all know. How does one make time? Well, basically, one thing that really helps with timekeeping is the fact that we're given deadlines, like, for the whole year. We're given kind of a timetable for, you know, when we should have this done, and then here's the next stage. And so you can kind of help to plan things out, even from the very beginning. Then another thing that's important is not to take on more than you can handle. I think we all do it to a certain extent, but, I mean, we could do it much more than we actually do. Largely, people are quite sensible. And then make sure that whatever areas that you decide to take on are things that really interest you, because unless, if it's not something that interests you, then you just will not do it as readily. So I guess that's probably how I keep a handle on things. Making sure that, I mean, when I'm very interested in custom content, so by taking that on, as my particular champion category, then I kind of made sure that I'd really be kind of tracking it up and getting the work done, but without it feeling too much like work. It was just more enjoyable. I guess that's it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, my answer to that is ruthless planning. You just have to make a schedule for yourself and make sure you keep revisiting it.
Well, it's true. Thankfully, though, I think we largely have people to ruthlessly plan for us.
Time management is the hardest things in the world to do, at least for me it is.
Well, for me, since my wife doesn't play the game, isn't even interested in the game, you know, I spend a lot of nights sleeping on the couch. I have a little spot on the porch I sleep on, you know, just because I'm not spending time with her, like right between the rose bushes.
I found the secret to getting wives to cooperate. I bought mine a new car, a new laptop, and we remodeled the house. So I really have free run of my time now.
Secret to success is money. Revolutionary.
Well, seriously, you know, I have a stupid work schedule. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I worked less than 10 hours in a day, and, you know, wow. Then I come home. And, you know, I you know, we make dinner and have dinner, and then after dinner I'll hop on Neverwinter Nights and, you know, do something while my wife is watching all her DVR shows. So, you know, it's kind of like spending time with each other. Being in the same room is spending time with each other, right? Even though you're doing different things.
Right, right.
Actually, it is, yeah.
I mean, not to be funny, but sometimes... Sorry.
When you count your marriage time in decades, it does work that way, but I think not until then.
I'm at a half a decade.
Yeah, you got some time to go. You better cut back. I'm sorry, Esty. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, all I was going to say is that you can't always be interested in exactly the same things. So if it's genuinely not something that you like and genuinely not something that she likes, then I think spending time in the same room together is probably the best solution, just provided it's not the majority of the time that you spend together. You know what I mean, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Being that my wife is shopping, I can let out a secret. That new laptop I bought her, I bought one that could run Neverwinter Nights 2 just so I could try to get her interested.
if she turns out to be interested, that's obviously cool. It's just, you know, the way sometimes people aren't interested because they just won't try, but sometimes people aren't interested because they really, really genuinely know they won't like it and they're right. So I guess it's just knowing the person.
Yeah, my wife fits better.
I did manage to get my wife to try about half an hour of Wiv and Crown of Cormyr. That was quite an achievement.
My wife prefers to stand over my shoulder and tell me how to go about solving quests, which actually it can really be a lot of fun sometimes, you know, because you're doing it together, just that, well, I get to be in control.
That would be a disaster for me. My wife's Italian.
Controlling marriage. I have a lot of Italian friends.
I just pick my battles, okay? There's only certain very few things I get to be in control of.
No, she just lets you think you're in control.
But see, I know it. See, that's the trick.
Cockroach, how do you find time? Because I know I'm...
Yeah, I was thinking that I am single, so I don't have the problem of having a wife and my bike, you know?
The problem of a wife. Nice.
Are you kidding? That's not how you want to phrase it.
Maybe that's why he's single.
He's terminally single. Woo!
I'm single too. Don't worry.
Wait a minute. She's single and I'm her slave.
I think Amy wants an exit to give my opinion of all the stuff I was reviewing about all year, you know? And because I used to download and play a lot of modules and try different custom content. And so when you try some things and you later, you don't want them to use it, you want to give them a use. You have been reviewed with all that stuff and you have to tell the people that, You have been looking into those stuff, and I think it's a part of if you are a Neverwinter Nights geek and if you are playing and building all day long with it, Amy is a good way to exteriorize those feelings, those thoughts about the community. It's okay. Mm.
Well, yes,
close enough.
Okay. Okay.
I've got one more piece of feedback on that on the subject of finding time. I remember last time I was on the podcast, I mentioned that I was trying to finish up other projects, and
and get a degree.
That's right. Just to let everybody know, because it's now official. I am going to graduate in January, and I have no more work to do for my degree.
Woo! Hold on, Tony.
I'm sorry.
Is that a PhD?
No, it's a second master's degree.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I have two masters, too. Yeah, I go two masters.
I paid for a master's. Does that count?
Being paid is great. Of course it
is. I paid for my wife's. I mean,
Oh, I see. Right. Sorry. I'm sorry. I thought I'm being paid to do a master's. And I was like, excellent. Nice.
Oh, no. I'm working class, uneducated. But it's funny that I can afford to pay for my wife to get a master's degree. God, America's great. I want to go back one to an award that we have missing. When we asked what categories are missing from AME, now, I'd like to see an award for the behind-the-scenes people, you know, like QK and so many others that, well, they put so much of their time and their effort in, and then we really don't get to hear about them because we're focusing on, you know, the big names and the toys that we all get to play with instead of the folks that are behind the scenes making it work. I mean, we look at Neverwinter Night Connections. There's some folks there that work a whole lot on a lot of things. We never know about it. And there's that, podcast.
yeah.
I mean, those guys put in a lot of time and effort, and very rarely does someone mention the podcast. I mean, yeah, you did win an award, but I just think there should be something about people behind the scenes. Or at least an idea for us to put up there and talk about and maybe come up with something for it.
Community contribution.
I totally agree about that.
Big category.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely a large category, and it's kind of like, you know, the catch-all category. As much as I don't like a catch-all category, but it's, you know, where do you draw the line to split it up is really the question. I mean,
okay.
You know, you have like a,
I'm talking about the unpaid volunteers that moderate, administrate, and provide countless hours of devotion to bring these things to life. The community contribution covers these, but I believe they deserve an award all of their own. so they're not overshadowed by better-known community works. That's verbatim.
You don't say. You were reading there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, that the community contribution just covers probably too much area, but, you know, it's always the question of where do you split it up and how do you split it up. But, I mean, you know, with the manpower that we really have now, I don't know if that's really possible. So join AME, and then we can fix that problem.
Well, we've got two new members, or three today, right? Does Skunky know that he joined AME yet?
I don't know. He was supposed to be here for this today.
He'd run away.
Hang on. We're going to go to the CGP. Back
off. He's hiding.
No. That's my job.
Next time you see Skunk, tell him I'm still waiting on my Storm Is Here copy, too.
Well, isn't it Sans Is Here, according to Dave?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He is not going to
Why is this Sans thing?
Oh, in the last podcast that we released
Friday. He called it Sans the Storm.
Dave, he calls it Sans.
Twice.
Well, no, twice. It's kind of fitting. There is a...
Did you read his excuse in the last comment?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's no excuse.
Okay, so somebody, whoever, wants to jump in and tell us how you're preparing for the 2008 Seasons of Awards. Is there anything new for 2008?
Everyone's whispering. How are we preparing? I don't know. We're mentally gearing ourselves up. How does that sound? We're having a bit of a debate also about which awards we're going to take forward and which ones we're not. We've changed the structure a little bit because we now have team leaders for both Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 with Tybee and Suchet taking those positions, which I think is going to help us to be more focused and help everyone hit those deadlines, he says, hopefully. We're obviously recruiting because we want to get some fresh blood in to the academy, make sure that...
Delightful turn of phrase there.
We just want to make sure that we get some fresh viewpoints then, if you prefer. keep us honest. Make sure that you know we get to see a broad range of stuff. Did I miss anything?
Sorry. Yeah, I think that's mostly it. Mostly focusing on trying to make some organizational changes and start a recruiting drive.
Yeah, that's number one on my list.
Actually, number one on my list is not losing pen and paper conversions. But I agree.
That's another conversation.
I gotta throw my left hook when I can.
My preparation is getting extra sleep before it begins. I think it'll work well for me.
I'm actually looking forward to it because we get to play all the good stuff and we get to see it. It's just great.
Oh, it's true. But if my supervisor knew the amount of Neverwinter Night stuff that I was doing, he'd have a conniption. I mean, PhD kind of takes over your life. So obviously, one has to be careful.
Yeah. I don't know. SD, you know, between AME, Q, CTP, yeah. Your PhD. I mean, I think slacking is your speciality, isn't it?
Yes, it's true. I have a +2 to damage when I'm slacking. It's true.
And then recently, I asked her to be a backup host, and she turned me down.
I'm sorry.
You obviously haven't gotten my emails, right?
But I know why. I understand.
I did shed one crystal tear when I was sending that PM, though.
I think we should recruit more people for the Neverwinter Nights 2 content, because this past year there have been released many modules, many good modules and many good stuff and community content, and I think we are only few people viewing the Winter Nights stuff, so I'm going to say in Spanish now, únete a la AME, amigo. Join the AME, please. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
¿Dónde está la cerveza más fina?
En mi casa, ¿no?
Yeah.
Christian
Eichweisen did it. Yeah.
I'm going to start recruiting the Greeks if you don't watch out.
What do each of you think is next for the Neverwinter Nights series and the community? Where do you think we're heading?
Oh. What a comprehensive question.
Well, as most of you are experts and have been around the community a very long time, and I think everybody really listens when y'all talk, I would be interested in hearing what your thoughts are on this.
You know, Ben should be the first. he tried Dragon Age. We all know he tried Dragon Age, and what do you know about it? Do you think it will change on Neverwinter Nights?
Well, let me put it this way. I actually thought that quite a lot of the community would probably go to The Witcher, but when I saw the way that the modding and community building side of that game was handled, I think there's a lot of lessons for what comes with Dragon mm-hmm. Age. And my view is that, I've seen the tool set, so it's kind of difficult for me to talk in a way that has no knowledge, but I'm going to try and do it as if I have never seen the tool set. If BioWare tackles the community side of things as well as they did with Neverwinter Nights 1, and also as Obsidian did with Neverwinter Nights 2, I think we'll all be going to Dragon Age. I think if, on the other hand, it turns out to be, you know, closer to The Witcher, which, frankly, I thought was an amazing game, but the longevity of it was very short because once you'd played it once, maybe twice, which is a lot of hours, admittedly, you moved on. And I think the same thing will happen with Dragon Age if the community side of it, if the modding tools are not there, if the full suite is not there, I don't think that people will stay with Dragon Age. You know, I'd like people to prove me wrong. I'm sure that, you know, very talented community that we have, people seem to find ways to break things so that they can, shoehorn in some voiceover or some amazing piece of custom content. But I think that, we get less and less patient with new games as time goes on. Maybe it's because everybody, you know, a newer, younger base who are used to a faster-paced way of playing, maybe, and we don't give it a chance. So I think it has to be there pretty soon after release, and hopefully that will prove to be the next 5 years of, you could call it time-wasting or you could call it good gaming.
I agree completely with Ben. I think that's exactly right. It's the availability of the module building tools that are going to make the difference with regard to the longevity of any new games that come out for the gaming community, for computer-based RPGs. The critical one, I've commented on this a couple of times, but I think the critical one is area building. One of the trends that I've seen is for new games to be hesitant about developing area building tools of the kind that we had in Neverwinter Nights 1, where we had this very robust tile set capability and architecture that could be exploited to very quickly and easily build areas. Because you have to be able to build areas. If you can't build areas, then you can't create a setting for a computer-based RPG. And in Neverwinter Nights 2, I mean, that was preserved for some kinds of areas, and then there was this whole idea of creating a powerful area editing tool that allowed you to do incredible amounts of very fine detail in creating exterior areas, for example, which made it very difficult and much more time-consuming, but much more powerful in terms of creating great-looking areas. I think one of the problems is that people have gotten, with newer games, the look of areas has become very important. And people want the areas to look really good. And it's hard to find a way architecturally to create a quick and easy to build area building tool of the kind that we had with Neverwinter Nights 1 that also can create really, really good looking areas. And I'm not sure exactly how to solve that problem, but if anyone can solve it in a way to create a tool that also builds really good looking areas easily, they've got the market locked.
Yeah, because actually Neverwinter Nights 2, it was a real battle with your own perfectionism in reality, because you would build for hours to make one area, and at least I would look at it afterwards and I'd go, oh, it's just not good enough, and I would scrap it. And I have to say, there is stuff out there which, honestly, I wouldn't have let out there, and there's other stuff out there which I'm amazed by, but that mental hurdle you had to get past where, you know, you're not an artist, you're trying to write a story, you produce something and you just can't get the texturing right or the shading right or what have you. And it takes a lot of dedication and effort to get past that kind of bump and start producing areas well. And I think, that can be discouraging. And that's the problem that we get as the graphics of games get better and better, that, you know, we're still trying to, as modders, we're trying to cover all of the needs, often as an individual, sometimes as a small team. And that can be, I think, the, you know, as Tony said, that's the thing that the games makers need to really crack.
Well, that is the solution to that problem, though, is teams. Because you mentioned making an area in hours. I am yet to ever complete an exterior area in just hours. I mean, with me, usually it's weeks. I can't seem to get it.
In Neverwinter Nights too, yeah.
You get to the point where you have to have team members to tell you, okay, look, it's done. Stop. It's good. Right. That's the way it is. And leave it. I mean, as you know, I'm a member of GPS, Gaming Parent Studios. And what we do is we share it around. I mean, one person might make the rough, like say we did Nighthouse and Nestlehaven. I might make the area originally, but then someone else will take it and add maybe some of their textures, or someone else will add some of their placeables, and it becomes something nice, and we all didn't spend all of our free time making an area.
Yeah, but I don't think that teams is the answer either, because if you're relying on teams, okay, BioWare has the advantage for Dragon Age in that there are going to be some groups of people who know each other already from Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2, who may transition together as teams, and therefore that gets the community kick-started. But I think for a new developer or for a new franchise, you're asking a lot to expect a community to build up around teams, because it takes a while for that community itself to coalesce and for people to get to know each other and to know who's good and who's not so good, who you can work with, who you can't work with. And I think that any tools that limit you to you know, having to have multi-functional teams and you can't build just one, two, maybe three of you together is going to have a small community as a result.
I think Ben's absolutely right. Speaking personally, I got into modding for the sole reason that I had a story idea in my head and was fascinated by modding and wanted to try it out. Did it entirely on my own. It would never have happened if I had to team with people. Because I didn't know anybody in the community. At the time. So, and the only reason I've gotten to know people in the community was because the fact that I was able to build something and get it out there drew me in. So I think that, I think Ben's right that we, that, well, but I also think that Chet's right in that there's going to be a move toward, teaming in general, because projects are becoming more complex and more elaborate. People's expectations of what can be accomplished in building modules keep increasing from year to year as people build better and better work. And you do get to a point, especially when some of the tools become more demanding, that there's people will naturally start trying to develop teams to be able to create, to meet those increasing expectations. But I also think that the capability for a single person to sit down and say, I'm fascinated by this, I want to try it out, and be able to actually create something has to be there to draw new people in.
I think most of you would be surprised, though, at how easy it is to build. There's a lot of folks out there that's just like myself in the beginning, is you're just in awe of someone when you play their mod and you, oh my God, how did they put this together? And that's how I got into the modding, is I'm talking to Jackie0123, just telling him how much fun I had, you know, helping him test stuff, and you get sucked right in. And you don't have to have any modding knowledge. Because people like yourselves that are doing, tell me you wouldn't spend a little bit of time helping someone, you know, sending them, Hitchhiker's Guide to Modding, things like that, you know, bring them along, because it's a lot of fun to watch somebody from their first time opening a tool set to when they're building areas. I mean, it's that easy, really, to build a team.
Depends on a problem that we've already brought up, which is that of a pre-existing community.
Oh,
I mean, with within a community that's already there, there's going to be a lot of expertise, like as is, and so people will be willing to share what they know in order to maybe get a new recruit for their team or see somebody else producing something great. When it's just a group of people that's starting up from scratch, then, I mean, either things will take off, like with Neverwinter Nights 1, where, I mean, there were people who played previous BioWare games who were interested, but, I mean, you know, there was no pre-existing community as such. Things just did take off, but I mean, that won't always happen. So I think Sir Chet is correct to a certain extent in saying that, you know, things are going to work in teams, but what I would say is a slight modification. Things may work in teams, if things do work in teams, then they will survive, persist, and if people don't, then they won't. You know, I mean, people don't always choose to do exactly what it is they have to do to succeed, so. Sorry, that's a bit depressing, but there you go.
Yeah, I really couldn't agree with that more, you know, because, you know, as far as, like, building areas goes, I mean, I found, you know, Neverwinter Nights 1, it rarely takes me more than, you know, 25, 30 minutes to even build a huge area, but in, you know, Neverwinter Nights 2, an exterior area can take me days, and, you know, at the end, I'm just not, you know, satisfied with it, which is pretty much the reason why I stopped in Neverwinter Nights 2.
Spend half a day trying to get a waterfall to work.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's...
And then finding
the
assets were saved in the wrong place. Yeah, that...
You know. Oh, yeah. You know.
So, yeah. And, you know, really for me, you know, since I'm still, you know, getting the hang of building and whatnot, you know, things like tile sets are just, you know, a godsend for me, because that way I really don't have to think about it. I can just think about what tile I'm going to put where, but I don't have to worry about, you know, painting an area and, you know, is this thing working? Is this thing working? Is this thing working? You know, that's, yeah, it's just, you know, I found Neverwinter Nights 2, or building in Neverwinter Nights 2 was more frustrating than anything else. And then building in Neverwinter Nights 1 just kind of comes more naturally.
If I can throw something in quick, there is something that helps a lot of us with Neverwinter Nights 2 is the prefab areas that a lot of folks have put out there.
I was actually going to mention them if nobody else did. See, the thing about prefab areas, though, I mean, and they're fabulous. It's great that so many people have put them up. But if people end up relying on prefab areas, then you'll end up finding the same areas in many different modules. So, I mean, right. I'm not trying to downplay it for a second. I think it's great. But it's sad that it's almost counterproductive, the great power of the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset, that it's ending up perhaps with more similar areas if people are using them because they can't make their own. I don't sense it negative, but do you know what I'm getting at?
Yes.
Right. You know, yes. If you think about it, what you can do is take those prefab areas and think of them as a tile set. You know what I mean? Like, it's a building block to start with, and then you can alter it, make yours into it, and it saved you, or I should say saved me, numerous hours. I'm involved building Persistent World now, and I tell you, I do it left and right. I mean, when they say, I need a cave connecting this city to this city, I'm like, oh, no problem. I know right where to get one.
let me comment on that, because there's a two-edged sword there. Neverwinter Nights 1 always had prefab areas too, but they were not anywhere nearly as popularly used. Partly because of the fact that the learning curve and the work involved in creating an area wasn't as great. But there is a problem, and prefab areas only work when you have an established lore and an established setting. For example, if you're building in the Forgotten Realms and someone has already built a good model of, you know, just pick some random city from the Forgotten Realms.
Like Waterdeep, the one that was just published during this week, City of Spenders by the Neverwinter Nights Citadel.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Yep, I hadn't seen that. Perfect example. That works well, because then if you want to set a setting in Waterdeep, you've got someone who's already done that work and has thought about it. But if you're telling an original story, it's much more difficult, because you have to tailor every aspect. If you want to make something good, this has always been my view. You tailor every aspect of the building to fitting with the story and with the setting. And it's very difficult if you're creating an original story set in an original setting to just pick a prefab area and have it work.
It's an interesting insight, because I have to agree totally with Tony. There's nothing worse than tailoring your story to fit the content that you're given. But actually, the funny thing is that when you're doing the writing professionally for modules or for premium, you know, for premium modules or for companies, this is exactly how you end up writing. So I think that after a while, you do get kind of trained to deal with that. So I think you can write to prefabs, but yeah, you need a pretty big variety of them. Otherwise, you lose your inspiration, because you can't get the waterfall that you want, or you can't get the bridge shot that you're looking for, or, you know, usually it's those key locations that you can't change.
You can change the prefab areas. I mean, say if you take a prefab area that's already made of a wilderness, I mean, and yeah, it's set, say, in Dragonlance. It doesn't mean it has to be a Dragonlance area. You can change it to whatever you want it, but it gives you the building blocks to start with, so you're not starting from scratch.
I agree with that, and I have to thank you for giving me that insight.
I mean, I just posted a link to Thieves Guild. Did you y'all see it in the chat?
Yeah.
There's some great areas in there. And by the way, if you guys want to pop in and say hello sometime, that'd be great. There's a lot of good info over there. Yes, I had to plug Thieves Guild.
That's good. Thieves Guild's a great
moderator and all, you know.
Well, the problem for me really is for prefab areas is that, you know, I just really feel the need to make my own, because I feel that, you know, if I don't try to make my own, then I'll never learn how to do it. It's not an insult to anybody who builds the prefab areas, because I mean they're great and they definitely serve their purpose. But for me personally, I'm really not satisfied unless I really make it myself.
There's a certain rewarding feeling when you started from scratch and made everything. I have to agree with you, Taibe.
Yeah.
Well, I think about the future of Neverwinter Nights. I agree with most of you about the complexity of building with Neverwinter Nights 2. And it's true, and it's not all to build areas. You can now play with interface or put some new textures to the terrain, play a lot more with the custom content, generally. And I think this will give a longer life to Neverwinter Nights 2, and as I am one of the closest persons to Atari, I think they have in mind another expansion for Neverwinter Nights 2, and some more adventure packs, I think, and I cannot see a future Neverwinter Nights 3, and because you know the Dungeons and Dragons rules have changed, and imagine that you are a developer and you have to make video games about Neverwinter Nights, and you have to change all those rules to the fourth edition right now, and that will be really a great problem, not to. To move again the Neverwinter Nights community to a new game, but that's the reason I think that Neverwinter Nights 2 and Neverwinter Nights 1 will last a lot of time, we think. So we will have a very, very long life, I think.
Yeah, just to add one other thing, to be specific about the original question in terms of what's in the future for the franchise. One of the things that I am thinking that we're probably going to see is a resurgence of interest in Neverwinter Nights 1 for a while. One of the very promising things that's on the horizon is the Project Q that some of folks here may be aware of. They're really looking at giving Neverwinter Nights 1 a very significant makeover to make it more palatable to players who are used to more modern games. My suspicion is that that's probably going to create a resurgence of interest in Neverwinter Nights 1 for a couple of years.
I just wanted to drop a word in about Project Q. Having taken a look at some of the material, because we all have it up on an FTP server, that we can kind of check it out and test it and whatnot. I mean, it's simply amazing. It's really pushing the boundaries of what can be done visually with Neverwinter Nights 1. So I think that that's where the future of Neverwinter Nights 1 is at the moment. That's all I just wanted to interject there.
Could you fill us in on a little bit of what Project Q is going to be about, or what it is about?
Okay, well, I mean, better geometry. I mean, we're able to reuse many of the textures that are already in the game, because many of the textures are very high quality already. Obviously some of them and a lot of them we have to improve. But for example, when it comes to character heads, we can still use the 512 by 512 textures, but by radically improving the geometry, we can make the character head look 100 times better. I mean, you know the way it is in Neverwinter Nights 1. There's lots of custom heads out there, but there's an awful lot of heads that nobody uses because they're ugly. You know, but I mean, the stuff in Q is fabulous. That's just one aspect of it. It's facelifting and it's adding extra content. But I mean, I don't want to go into too much because we have more stuff later. Yeah, more press releases, more podcasts. There's a certain veil of secrecy, when it comes to an awful lot of things, because we want to really wow people when the content is released.
But you could tell us what Q stands for.
Yes, quality. I could tell you what Q stands for. You've already said it. You already said it. Q stands for quality.
Quality.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Actually, just to let everybody know, I've actually applied to be part of the beta test group. Well, I don't know if it's beta test is exactly the term, but they're looking for people to start developing modules along with the development of Project Q, preparing for the first release. And I've decided, as long as this is logistically feasible, that I'm going to build Sanctum of the Archmage 3 using Project Q.
Oh.
Yeah, I have to say, we were delighted to have a builder like yourself on board. We're currently reviewing the applications, but we're very glad to have yours.
Okay.
And if I can get in on the actual original question real quick. the future of Neverwinter Nights, I'll speak from the Neverwinter Nights 1 aspect. I mean, there's still people building, there's still people making tools. I'm involved with a couple of things, but I know the community tile set project has something that hopefully will be released soon that is absolutely amazing.
I'm working on it right now. Seriously, I have a tile open in the window while I am discussing things with you on every podcast.
That's why you keep dropping out.
No, I dropped out because I had to put on a jumper. It's getting cold.
I gotta say though, Neverwinter Nights 1 has made so many changes, because myself, I just started playing Neverwinter Nights 1 again, and it's almost like Christmas. It's a whole new game.
Yeah, and it's sorry. That's okay. I mean, yeah, there's so many new things on the horizon. There's I'm honored enough to be a tester at CTP, and from some of the things that I've seen over there, I mean, they really, so some of the textures and some of the tiles really have to be seen to be believed. It's a really, really beautiful set. And, then you got stuff like Project Q, which really has me excited about Neverwinter Nights 1 again. And, which is, a huge reason why I think that, the release of Dragon Age will not kill Neverwinter Nights. And, of course, the aspect of Dragon Age not having multiplayer is definitely the main reason why I think it will not, make the community stray from Neverwinter Nights 1, Neverwinter Nights 2.
You know, folks can play more than one game at the same time.
Crazy. I mean, I was just playing Planescape Torment last night.
Oh, God, I love that game.
Yeah, I got re-addicted to Diablo 2.
Oh, man. I'm still involved modding Baldur's Gate.
Yep.
I'll never get tired of that game.
I love that game, but honestly, last time I opened it up, I just, it really did look too old.
Oh.
Yeah, that's to me. Last time I tried to reinstall Baldur's Gate and tried to play it, I think it was too old for me,
Well, you can play Baldur's Gate on the Baldur's Gate 2 engine, right? Mm-hmm. There's a complete remake. You can play both games, 1 and 2, put together in one long story on the Baldur's Gate 2 engine.
Okay, we're going to get to the last question, and then I'm going to let each of you, give some parting comments or whatever you want to say. So the last question or topic is, do you have geek all over you, and how do you explain that to your family and friends?
I'm holding a sword right now,
You're holding a sword?
I have, let me see how many swords I can see from where I'm sitting. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 swords and 1 spear. So, yeah, I might be a geek.
Nice. You might be a geek. Nobody will try and tell it to you because they'll be so afraid of all your weapons.
Well, these are toys. The weapons are locked in the gun cabinet.
I'm a geek and I admit it. I actually am very proud of it, and don't let anybody tell me otherwise. I have a geek badge right here with me, which is my pocket protector with a bunch of multicolored highlighters in it. So I make sure to wear that whenever I need to.
So, yes. See, the Pokemon,
the badge of honor.
So who's the biggest geek in the AME?
Tony now.
I am not a geek. I'm a level 20 paladin only.
Yeah. I thought he was going to suck. I thought he was going to say I'm a lover.
I'm a prompt.
I think I'm a bit of a failed geek at the end of the day, because I'd still rather watch a game of rugby than play a computer game, so maybe I'm a bit of a pretender in that respect. And I still wear a suit to work and stuff like that, so...
I'm quite a geek. I play computer games, I run a tabletop D&D game, I play in somebody else's tabletop game, which is not D&D, it's a different role-playing system. I mod Neverwinter Nights, I have two postgraduate degrees and one work in progress postgraduate degree. Don't get ahead of yourself. So yes, geek for the win. I don't mind. I mean, I think one should never be ashamed of who one is.
Hear, hear.
All you got to do is just mention Dungeons and Dragons, a dragon, a knight, a sword, a shield, something look like one, and if you're near me, you're going to start talking about geek stuff.
It's fair.
It leaks out. I can't help it. Where I am or what I'm doing.
Yeah, you know, I might be in the same category as Ben as the failed geek, because I would rather watch a game of football. But you know, the real football with the oblong ball and you get to use your hands? That one?
I like the other game of football where you use your hands.
The real football is Gaelic football. Hush, all of you.
The one where you use the club.
Ty Bay, we probably should wrap this up because the college games are going to be starting here pretty soon.
I'm a pros guy myself, actually. That's why I can't do stuff on Sundays. Sunday is church day for most people, but my church is the NFL.
Okay, so why don't we wrap up and have each of you give a parting comment to the community or to the listeners? Just anything you want to say?
Okay. My parting comment is come and join the AIM. And thanks for having us.
I'm not sure what to say as a parting comment, except that I'm really excited about and glad to be involved with the AME. And I'm looking forward to our next season, and I hope that a lot of folks out there will give some thought to joining up and helping us to keep alive a really great game and it's, you know, something that all of us love for another year.
Okay. What I would just say is that there's an amazing community that's grown up around Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, and the achievements of members of this community and teams in this community is simply astonishing, keeping this game alive. So really, I'm delighted to be part of the Academy for Modern Excellence because we're all about recognising the work that goes into producing this great stuff. So it deserves recognition, so thus recognition is given. Happy days.
If you think you're having fun now playing Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, you need to join the community and find out just how much fun there really is to be had. AME is the best place to get that exposure. So come on aboard. We're waiting for you.
With a big stick, I mean no.
You know, to reiterate, you know, what my colleagues have said, yeah, definitely come join the AME. I mean, I've never really had more fun doing all this stuff, and you know, we don't get paid for it, we don't get recognition for it. We just, you know, give our time to, you know, play a game that we love. And you know, if you're into gaming for Neverwinter Nights, you might as well just come on over and you know, join our group, and you get to, you know, play a lot of the modules that are, you know, the best of the best out there, and you get to evaluate them and vote on them, give awards. It's really gratifying for me. It's kind of a way that, you know, I give back to a community that's given me so much. Kumbaya, my lord.
Kumbaya.
What do you mean you get paid? I got my check.
Don't tell him.
Ben?
Now everyone's going to want one.
Okay, last but certainly not least, the cockroach.
As you said, I'm very proud to be on AME. And I think it's a great community that everyone there playing Neverwinter Nights or building with this game should try and do the same things we all do. We all love to talk about modules and talk about the Neverwinter Nights stuff in there, and it is very funny, and I would like to see the next year more people involved into AME. Make that thing even funnier than this past year, I think.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, hey, I appreciate everybody taking some time with us to do this. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it was fun.
It's certain.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully next year you'll have even more members and we can maybe do a couple of them or something. Hey, I appreciate it.
Hey,
great. Take care.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Hey, we gotta find a way out of here.
Why is it getting dark in here?
I think the podcast is almost over, so the cave is closing up. Hurry, run!
This way! I open a rift in the wall with my cave-smashing Imperial Sword! Yay!
We made it.
Yes, we did. And that's it for this week. So, folks, don't forget that you can purchase your own Neverwinter Nights podcast t-shirts by going to our Cafe Press store located at cafepress.com/NWN podcast or clicking on the t-shirt link on the front page.
Until next week.
Get in game.
And level up. Yay!
And level up. Level up. Level up.
You can always reach us via our website at NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com or by email at show@NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights Podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2008.
Edit that out.
You always do that to me, but edit that out.
Edit that out.
Well, I'm still plugging away.
Far along on your.
I'm sorry, what, Dave?
But edit that out.
Knock you out.
It's your learning mouse. Is
that's
fun.
That's a mouse cursor.
Fundamental.
Shit, no, do modern technology.
He's edumacated.
I am. Us down here in the South, we be all edumacated.
Hold on a second. You're in Florida. That's just a Yankee state that fell off the top and landed at the bottom.
Hold on a second. I got to put my shoes on.
We're Republican.
Harsh, but fair. Fair, but harsh.
Let's see. Let me see if QK's on yet. Or back.
Q-tay?
QK. Cockroach.
I've never been entirely sure how one would go about pronouncing that name. I mean, I've only ever seen it written. I've never made this kind of valiant attempt at, you know, issuing it forth into the ether.
Creature.
Well, remember what he said in one of his posts was, well, it's cockroach to friends, right?
Oh. Is it really, or are you just winding me up?
That's what it sounds like if you sound it out. It's cockroach.
It does sound surprisingly and disturbingly similar. It's true.
Yeah. I think it's like Cucamacha or something like that. From his podcast. We got to hurry up and get all this done before he gets on. This is the only time.
Is he was want? On earlier, but I don't see him now. Or he's asleep.
Yeah, I don't know if messing with the 6'8" cockroach is probably the best idea. Not a problem. I got a house full of guns.
Oh dear.
And I just want to add in, yay.
We're walking all over each other.
Hey, slave boy.
That was the dog.
The easiest way for us not to walk on each other is just remember, when Sir Chet's speaking, that's the time to listen. Right.
I just went off to read the forums. Were you talking?
God, I'm so happy Drake's going to edit this thing out.
That's going to be a blooper right there.
Oh, dear.